And speaking of the Bible, let's pull that out tonight. And we'll start in Acts chapter 1, as we did this morning. Acts chapter 1, we'll look at that same verse, but with a different direction, I should say, that we're going to go. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because we started last week talking about the Holy Spirit, as I know you all remember. Amen? Amen. Okay. I should stop asking that, shouldn't I? Acts chapter 1, let's just look at verse number 8. You know it. Would you say it with me? Verse number 8 of Acts chapter 1, and then we'll continue on. Let's read it together. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord Jesus here says there's going to come a day, a time, when the Holy Ghost will come upon you. He will come upon you, talking to his disciples, talking to those that were there at the time of his ascension. And a few days later, the Bible says that's exactly what happened. Since that time, the Bible tells us that when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells within us. We looked at that last week as we're looking at our series called What We Believe About the Bible, or What We Believe About the Things of the Bible. And we started last week on What We Believe About the Holy Spirit, or pneumatology. How many have ever heard of that phrase? Pneumatology. That is the Greek word pneumatos, or pneuma, is for spirit. And this is the study of the Holy Spirit. And in our confession of faith, this is what it says about our belief on the Holy Spirit. We believe, it's pretty long, we believe that the Holy Spirit is a divine person possessing all the attributes of personality and of deity. He is equal with the Father and the Son and is of the same nature. His relation to the unbelieving world is that he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Amen, I agree. He is the agent of the new birth, and his work among believers includes his sealing, indwelling, infilling, guiding, and teaching them the ways of righteousness. We believe there is a distinction between the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and his ministry in the New Testament. There is a new and unique work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the body of Christ. We believe that the Holy Spirit endues believers with service gifts. That's what we're going to look at tonight, one of the things. We believe the Bible disavows the authenticity of the sign gifts such as prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, and healing for today, and repudiates the experience-oriented theology and ecumenically-oriented practice of the charismatic movement. Ecumenicism, and ecumenism, that simply means without disagreement. We all agree on and we're all God's children and we all do this. That's ecumenism, saying that we're all in this together, even though we don't necessarily believe the Bible the same way. That's what we're saying, that ecumenical desire or thought is what we disagree with in regards to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit was somewhat controversial even back in the time of the New Testament church. Some of the gifts and the ways that God would use us in the power of the Holy Spirit, there was some contradiction, disagreement, and in fact, the Apostle Paul had to take some time to exhort the church about the Holy Spirit. So that's what we want to look at tonight. We started last week, we saw the Holy Spirit is equal in power and attributes with the Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus. He was there at creation. As we read earlier, he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In the Old Testament, we found out he filled individuals temporarily, not completely, not for their lifetime, but temporarily, to accomplish God's will. Who were some of the folks we looked at last week that were filled with the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God came upon them? Who were some of those people in the Old Testament? Samson was one of them. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him. And when he was younger, as a teen, it sounds like, as a youth, the Spirit of God moved him, the Bible says, throughout the camp. Anybody else that we talked about? Moses. Moses, the Spirit of God came upon him at times. Then the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament writers of Scripture, God says, he came upon them. We used Micah as an example specifically, and prophesied and recorded God's revelation, again, temporarily, but definitely used by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, number two, is active in the growth of the church. That's where we started or ended last week. He regenerates those who put faith in Christ at the time of the new birth. There is a false teaching out there that says that people have to be regenerated before they get saved. How many heard that shared out there? That the Holy Spirit somehow comes upon a person that God chose to be saved. What does that sound like? Calvinism or covenant theology, or older terms, I guess you could say. And it says they, you know, he's going to choose so and so. Well, before that, he sends the Holy Spirit to them so that they can understand and be able to put faith in Jesus, claiming that no one can have faith in anything before that. Well, that's obviously not true. Unsaved people can have faith in things. They can have faith in the wrong things. But as God opens their eyes, takes away the blinders that Satan puts in their mind, the Bible says, they certainly can put their faith in Jesus. When they do, as they do, the Bible says, they are regenerated. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He indwells the believer, ensuring God's constant presence and power. We looked at two examples in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let me ask you this question. If you're born again tonight, when is the Holy Spirit not with you since you've been born again? When is the Holy Spirit not with you? He is always with you. He is always with you. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit. Let me put it this way. He will not lose you. He will not lose you. But we certainly can quench him, the Bible says. We can grieve him. We can avoid him. And we can ignore him. The step of believer's baptism, we mentioned this, is done in his name also, Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ghost. Tonight we want to continue on and look at a couple other thoughts, but we'll start with this. The Holy Spirit provides spiritual gifts to the body of Christ to accomplish God's will. The Holy Spirit provides spiritual gifts to the body of Christ to accomplish God's will. What does the Bible say about that? I'd like to take a few moments, look at that and a couple other things, and see if God can show us some amazing things. You know, God has given you a spiritual gift. How many knew that? You all have one. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have one. Which one is it? Let's find out. Before we do, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Then we'll continue on. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that is true, as true today as it has always been. Now, Lord, help us to look into it and agree with it, Lord, about the teaching of your Spirit and who dwells within us, Lord. I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would have freedom this evening, that he would be in control of our service and the things we share tonight. Pray your filling tonight, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we're going to start, but there are several passages that describe and list gifts of the Holy Spirit. A gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that is something, an ability that you did not have before you got saved. If it's a gift of the Holy Spirit and you didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you before you got saved, guess what you didn't have before you got saved? You didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit or the use of it. Let's take a look at chapter 12. Start in verse number 7. Let's read verses 4 through 11. Let's go ahead and read this whole passage and then we'll comment on it later on. So let's do this. I'll read verse 4. Would you read verse 5? We'll go back and forth. Verse 11 will be our final verse in this passage. I'll begin with verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit.
To another faith, by the same Spirit. To another
To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue. We already did pray, amen? Should we pray again? Oh, let's just go. Let's just keep going here. Verse number 7. Take a look at verse number 7. As I shared, the Bible tells us every believer has at least one. Every believer has at least one. Notice again what it says. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man or every person born again. Man is general there. It's not only men. It's everyone who has accepted Christ as their Savior, has the indwelling Spirit of God, to profit with all. The Bible tells us every believer has at least one. These gifts are to strengthen and unify the church. The word profit there means to collect or bring together. They are there to profit with all, or collect or bring together. That is the purpose of these gifts, part of them. These gifts, number 2, are identified in Scripture. We are not left up to our own devices, our own imagination, to figure out which one is which. We've got a list right here in chapter number 12, and let's take a look at it. First of all, in verses 8 through 10, that is where the list here is. The Bible says, "For to one is to given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." So on our list, if you're writing them down, write these things. Wisdom. Wisdom is one thing that God uses to help us in serving Him. Then He says, by the Spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Knowledge is another opportunity for the Holy Spirit to use in our life. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I'll make some comments on these things in the list and why they are a gift and why we shouldn't just throw them aside because we think, well, we don't have the kind of faith that other people do. Well, I'll never have the wisdom that so-and-so does, so I should not even worry about trying to seek out wisdom. No, God says these are gifts, yet they are still opportunities to grow as a Christian. All right, where are we? Verse 9. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. This would be a sign gift, healing, a sign gift, verse which we all wish we had, amen? We could go down to the hospital, we could go to people's houses, and man, we could heal some people. That would be wonderful if God allowed that. But you know, even at the time that these gifts were given, they didn't heal everybody. Not everybody was healed because someone was given the gift of healing and they happened to be near them. Verse number 10, to another, the working of miracles. This would be supernatural actions. That's another sign gift. To another, prophecy. Prophecy in the sense of prophesying an event to come. That would be a similar in a sign gift. Not preaching, but prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. So discernment. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. So this would be tongue speaking in a known tongue, not an unknown tongue. Again, that's a sign gift. To another, the interpretation of tongues. God says if somebody is going to have that gift in His church and nobody knows what He's saying, then somebody has to be there to interpret it. Because what is the purpose of gifts according to verse number 7? That they profit all, that they profit all. And if someone's jabbering on and we have no idea what they're saying, but they're saying this is from God, it's not profiting anybody. A sign gift. Let's see, verse number 11. But all these worketh at one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Go to chapter 4 of Ephesians, please. Chapter 4. Okay, we're listing them at this point. We're listing them as they are mentioned in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 11. The Bible says, and He, this is Jesus, talking of the Lord Jesus, and He gave some apostles and some prophets. These again are gifts that God gives this church: apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These are gifts given by God. Something that God, you could not do before you got saved. At least the way God has it planned out. You could not do before you got saved. This is the Holy Spirit empowered things that you can do. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. So we had, what do we have? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All right, those are part of the list. Let's go back to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. And here's what we want to, here's what adds to our list that we've already got: helps, or ministering, helps. And then governments, which would be those who could help guide through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Governments. The U.S. government is not a Holy Spirit-filled entity. The word governments there referring to those who can help guide and direct in the church. And then diversities of tongues, again, mentioning tongues there. The Bible tells us that there's so many to look at. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. There are some mentioned there as well. So we're going to list them all, and then we're going to talk about them, okay? We're going to list them, and then we're going to talk about them. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 5. By the way, how many were like me, and we're just waiting for these candles to be lit at some point? Don't they look nice? Appreciate Tabitha and Mrs. Potter putting these things out to make it look nice in here. But I just thought, man, we need to light those candles. They've been sitting there for so long. They look lonely. Let's put some lights on. Anyway, Romans 12, verse number 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You're starting to see the list repeated, right? Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth. Here is another one, exhortation. That is a spiritual gift, on exhortation. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, giving, again, a spiritual gift. To do it with simplicity. By the way, the word simplicity means this: generously, liberally. Generously, liberally. There is a special Holy Spirit-empowered individual with this gift that they just seem to get, whether they have a lot or not, it seems that's a spiritual gift. Verse number 8, we're reading on. He that ruleth with diligence. Again, this is the idea of guidance, also administration. So it would be go along with governments as well. Then it says, listen to this, he that showeth mercy, a spiritual gift to be merciful, to do it with mercy, with cheerfulness, excuse me. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All right, let's see if we got the same list, if you and I have the same list. We started out with, let's go down the list, wisdom, knowledge, faith, discernment, proclaiming truth or prophecy, that can be both, discerning of spirits. Then we talked about the tongues, which were sign gifts. What were the sign gifts that are mentioned in Scripture? Speaking in tongues. What's the other one? Healing. What else? Interpreting of tongues and miracles. Those are sign gifts, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Then in Ephesians 4, we saw evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Apostles is mentioned there as well. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, exhortation, governments or guidance, and then mercifulness, Romans chapter 12, and giving. All right, we got them all? Those are the ones that were mentioned in Scripture that are gifts that the Holy Spirit provides. Now, Here's where the New Testament church, specifically Corinth, is addressed about that they had a problem. The gift of, especially the sign gifts, but the gift of tongues was out of control. Those that were given that opportunity, that gift, they would speak in the tongue in a service, it sounds like, and no one would be there to understand. No one interpreter would be there. Or an interpreter might be available, but no one was speaking in tongues that day. But the main problem was that they were speaking in a various tongue and no one could understand. Turn with me, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the thought. Thirdly, sign gifts, number three, sign gifts were endued at the time of the apostles, authenticating their ministry and edifying the early church. They were given at the time of the apostles, authenticating the apostles and the ministry of the church. But as the apostles began to be martyred, which they were, which one didn't get martyred, by the way? John the apostle. And there was one other who was a disciple. He was never, I don't know if he was called an apostle, but Judas, of course, he committed suicide. We don't consider him a true apostle because of his betrayal. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, though, shares with us that sign gifts were endued at the time of the apostles, authenticating their ministry and edifying the early church. Chapter 12, verse number 12, let's take a look at what it has to say. The Bible says this, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." In Ephesians 4, we read it already, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The tongues began to cease. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. Chapter 13. This was not, it should not have been a shock. It wasn't to the New Testament church. They knew that the gift of tongues would come to an end. But apparently, in the last 100 years or so, maybe a little bit more, there are those who claim to be followers of God and say, no, that gift is still for today. But take a look, chapter 13. Let's see. Verse number 8. Charity never faileth. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall what? Cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. And then he says at the very end, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these, he says, is charity. Charity. Or love. Love for one another. If we're going to have the love of God, guess who God loved? He loves you. If we're going to have the love of God, we're going to love one another. We're going to love those who need Christ. We're going to love those who know Christ. That's God's plan for us. But the tongues, the healing, the prophecy, the miracles, those sign gifts, they began to cease. They began to cease. I wish that at least the healing part was here, don't you? How many know somebody who's dealing with cancer today? Man, horrible, horrible. Cancer's horrible. But God in his grace said, I'm not going to send that gift to you at this point, not in a physical manifested form, but what I can do is I can answer prayer. Did you know that God can still heal even though the gift of healing is not available? How does he heal, folks? Through prayers, through prayers. And the prayer of faith, the Bible says, can offer up healing. In the book of James, it tells us that. So these gifts, though they were very much exciting, they were there to share and authenticate the ministry of the apostles. And what did the apostles leave behind for the early church and now for us today? They wrote scripture by the inspiration of who? Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. As the word of God was being completed, I believe that's when the sign gifts ceased completely. It could have completed, they could have ceased before that, but it seems as you study out the scriptures that as the Word of God was completed, the last book most believe, most writers believe, roughly around 90 to 95 AD, the Apostle John would have written his final words, that was when those sign gifts came to an end. Why? Because he was the last apostle. And God continued to work through his church using gifts, but the sign gifts were not. That's why, you know, you need to study your Bible. Amen? You need to study your Bible. There is so much contradiction in those that follow the speaking of tongues idea. I had a good friend who told me, here's a good question to ask somebody. If the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues or prophecy or things like that, if the Holy Spirit told you to do something that is contrary to the Bible, would you do it? And you know the answer, don't you? The Holy Spirit would not, what? Ever tell you to do something contrary to the Bible. You know why? Because he wrote it. He wrote it. And it's truth. And he would not contradict himself. But you can see that contradiction so much in that movement. Sadly, people are, they're in it. They're in it. My dad attended, he got saved, praise the Lord, through some charismatics who gave him the gospel. And I believe he put his faith in Jesus as he gave his testimony to me. Then when he got out of prison, he started attending a church that would fall in line with those things. And he told me one time, he said, you know, they began to tell me that, you have to speak in tongues now. And my dad, if you remember my dad, if there's something he doesn't know, he's not going to act like he doesn't. He's not going to act like, that's just him. He'll be real about it, let's put it that way. And he would tell these people, but I can't do it. And they a couple times came to him, said the same thing. And then finally they said, but if you're truly saved, you'll speak in tongues. And he said, well, I can't do that because I don't feel that. I never get that sense. And they said, well, just mumble something. Next time when we stand up in front of the group, just mumble something. Well, he didn't. He never did, as far as I know, acquiesce to that. But, you know, still, it's the faith in Jesus that it's salvation. You know that. Not speaking in tongues or manifesting these gifts. Anyway, it can be a very dangerous road to go down. You know, it's interesting to think that God has some specific, like a fortune teller. There's some specific thing he's got for you to do or not do. It's going to change your life. And that's why Satan can ensnare people so easily, because they are looking for the right answer in life. The right person, the right move in their work situation, whatever it might be. God says, listen, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to direct you if you look to me. So we have this list. What do we do with it now? You know, Christians are responsible, number four. Christians are responsible to develop their spiritual gift, but they are to grow in the spiritual fruit. If you're in 1 Corinthians 12 still, would you look at verse number 28 again? Verse number 28. There are tests out there. You can find them online. Here's how you find your spiritual gift, etc. Fill out this 10-page questionnaire and then send it back in, and we'll let you know what your spiritual gift is or whatever. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. But I would encourage you to pursue what God says is the more important thing. God wants to use your spiritual gift, and he will, if you just ask him, show me what to do, how to do it. But here's what he says in the end of chapter 12 and chapter 13 as well. I'm starting in verse number 28. Again, here's what it says. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am, what did Apostle Paul say? I am nothing, nothing. So what is he telling us? Yeah, all these gifts are available to you. But you know, if you don't do them out of love, out of charity, you're missing the point. And you could be misusing the gifts. The Bible tells us that Christians are responsible to develop their spiritual gift. You don't have a spiritual gift and all of a sudden you're an expert in it. You're an expert in it. Hey, praise the Lord for those men who help us learn the Word of God, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, etc. I'm thankful for them. But all those that I know, they study. They've prepared. They've worked hard to get to the point where they can share God's Word in a reasonable way and the Holy Spirit lead and guide. And all these other gifts in helps, in faith, in mercy, all those types of things. Hey, I'm praise the Lord for those who have great faith, aren't you? Those who have great faith. Does that mean that I shouldn't try to be one who has faith in God? Well, we need somebody with great faith. So I've got Sister Nancy over here. Man, she's a great lady of faith. I'll just call on her to have faith in things for me or for our church. No, the truth is we all need to grow in faith. Amen? We all need to grow in those things. My advice to you, instead of worrying about which gift is yours, ask God to use the gifts he has in you in love. In love. The Bible says it's the more excellent way. And with that in mind, that spiritual fruit is what the Lord wants to bring to bear in all our life. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 22 as we do. Starting in verse 22. Verse number 22 through 25, here's what the Bible says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me stop right there. I got a couple of verses we want to look at. Let's stop right there. If we just had that list to work on, how easy do you think it would be? That's quite a job, isn't it? That's quite a task in front of us. Guess what? You can't do it without who? The Holy Spirit. Verse number 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're using the gifts that God has given through his Holy Spirit, let us walk in this fruit, this spiritual fruit, as we use them. As we use them. God's desire is for you and I to develop the spiritual gifts, but also to grow in the spiritual fruit and put that to exercise too. Final thought we want to look at is mentioned in our confession of faith is this. Number four, if you're taking notes, this is Roman numeral four. The Holy Spirit seals the believer and ensures three things. The Holy Spirit seals the believer and ensures three specific things. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there. Amen. He does. He does seal us. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, just a page over, right? And look at verse number 13 and 14. And let's just take a look at it. I'll read it for us. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, talking about the Lord Jesus there, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Of course, the idea of sealing is keeping, making sure it is protected. Here's the three things I believe the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit ensures the believer through his sealing. Number one, Christ's ownership. Christ owns you. Christ owns you. And he seals you. The Bible says in a spiritual sense, He's put his name on you. Amen. He's put his name on you. Just as every item of clothing out there, every vehicle is identified, the Bible says that you are identified as Christ when you receive the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus. He ensures your ownership, the ownership of Jesus over you. Number two, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit secures our salvation. He secures our salvation, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, there's a phrase out there, once saved, always saved, that those who like to attack people of our church, Baptists, about, but they don't say the whole phrase. Once saved, always saved, if truly saved. Once saved, always saved, if truly saved. That is receiving Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit is sent to ensure your salvation to the day that you see Jesus face to face. And grieve not. Chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How many are looking forward to that day? Amen. Seeing Jesus face to face. Could happen tonight before we go home. Whenever it does, praise God, that if you know Christ as your Savior, you're ready for it. But the Lord wants you to walk in the Spirit until that time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll finish with this and we'll read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there. And then we'll finish with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 21 and 22 of 2 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit seals the believer and ensures Christ's ownership. Number two, secures our salvation. Number three, make sure that heaven is our destination. Make sure that heaven is our destination. Chapter 1. Look at verse 21 and 22. Let's read that together, shall we? Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Bible says he wants you and I to understand we're going to be with God. We're going to be in heaven with him. Jesus says it many times, but he ensures it through the Spirit of God. He sends the Holy Spirit, just another way to give us peace about that, to give us peace that that salvation is forever. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. That list, go through it. Ask the Lord, which one of these will you want to work on in me, dear Lord? Which one of me, these do you want to use me? Not all of them are in front of people. The words ministering come to mind. The words mercifulness, the words faith. These are things that most people don't get a lot of accolades for, but they are just as important as the evangelists, just as important as those who have the gift of governments, etc., ruling or guidance, exhortation. All these make a difference in the church. Amen. They all make a difference. Ask the Lord, which one do you want me to use and guide me? In love, that the fruit might come forth. That's what we believe about the Holy Spirit. We need to get the word out that anybody can be used by him. Anybody can be filled by him, as we looked at this morning a little bit. But God wants to certainly use him through us. Heavenly Father, I pray, though this is more of a teaching time, more of a study time that we've had tonight, as we do on Sunday nights, Lord, show us how we can be more open for the Spirit of God to be used, not open to any spirit, but the Holy Spirit, so that the word of Christ, the gospel can get out, we can live the way you want us to, husbands, wives, children, Lord, individuals just seeking out to do what's right for you. Lord, I pray, help us to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit would grow and come to harvest. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play. Maybe God's burdened your heart about something today. something that maybe has been throughout the day on your heart, you want to talk to him about that, this is a great time. The altar's open. As she begins to play the song, we'll sing in just a bit.